And the rest of us are going to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll give y'all a chance to get situated real quick. You know, when you get a job, and maybe it's an entry-level job, you first get in there, you want to try to impress the boss that you know what you're doing. You want to and show your coworkers that you're able to handle the job and carry the load. You're trying to, what we would say, walk worthy in that job. If you don't try hard, you don't work hard, then people look at you as a sloth and a slacker, and why'd you get hired? You need to get rid of that guy. He's not helping at all. But we want to walk worthy as for our job. We want to walk worthy in our relationships that we have with one another. We want to make a difference. And what we do and how we act does make a difference. And the Bible shows us in Ephesians chapter 4, there's a command from God for us to follow as well. He says in verse number 1, "I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Meaning just the calling that God has placed upon your life as a believer, we are to walk worthy. And it says in verse 2, "with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Verse number 3 tells us why God is mentioning to us that we are to walk worthy of our calling. As a believer, as a Christian, God wants us to walk worthy of our calling. And he mentions in verse number 3 why. He says to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You cannot have a church environment, a church family, a fellowship of believers come together that are not in unity with God. If you do, you're just having another meeting at the bowling alley to talk about what kind of shirts you want to order next week. Has nothing to do with God. And we can meet together and have coffee at Starbucks or Emily's or someplace and enjoy company with each other, but we don't have any unity in the Spirit. What it takes is believers of God coming together in a fellowship with God and having a unity of peace through the Spirit of God. God wants us to keep that unity. The only way we can do what we're doing here and move forward in what we're doing here and have an atmosphere of patience and love and forbearing of one another and the things that he said in verse number 2 is we have to have some unity. We're not going to have unity unless we're willing to walk worthy of our calling. That means we are to follow some things in our life as believers on a daily basis in order to have the unity of the Spirit in our fellowship and in our church. And to show the Lord we're walking worthy. We're going to skip down to verse number 23 and gives us some good reasons and good ways of how we can walk worthy for the Lord. Verse number 23 says, "and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Now, earlier, he was talking about the old man. We're going to go back to verse number 21. It says, "if it so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in him, in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation," or that just means manner of life, behavior in life, "put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And verse 24 says that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What that verse is saying, if you're going to renew yourself, You're putting away that old man. In the Bible, every time it talks about the old man, it's talking about your past before you got saved, before you met Christ, before you're forgiven. You are the old man. That's the world. That's the lust of the world. That's the sin of the world. That's what you used to be. But when you met Jesus and realized you were a sinner and you need to be saved by grace, then you became a new man, a new creature, a new person in Jesus Christ. And he says it starts, if you're going to have a worthy walk with the Lord, it starts with renewing yourself in the Spirit. Reminding yourself, oh, I've been saved for 4,500 years. That's great. But we need to be reminded that we need to walk worthy of the Lord. And to do that, we need to renew our spirit. And it gives us some clues here on how we're going to do that. It's always actions with God. You know, you can give God lip service all day long, but he wants some action to show him what you believe. You can tell somebody, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But until you show them you love them, it's a different story. It's just lip service. God wants your heart involved in the work that you're doing for him. Service for God starts with the heart changing. That's putting on the new man, renewing ourselves in God. So let's look at those verses here. Verse 25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So the first way to renew ourselves in the spirit of righteousness and true holiness to God is to put away lying. Well, it says, well, I don't lie. Well, I'm not calling you a liar, but God's saying, put away lying. That's step number one. You cannot have unity in the spirit of God. You cannot have unity with this, with God and walk worthy of your calling if you're lying to one another. And I'm not talking about brother, Ed, I love your tie. No, I really hate that thing. It looks just like mine. So I can say that. That's not what I'm talking about. But when someone is lying, it's because they're trying to manipulate the situation for their good, not yours. And so they'll say whatever they need to say in order to make it better for them, not you. God says, putting away that lying. We don't need to have lying throughout the church where people are trying to manipulate situations that they can somehow progress themselves in the church instead of others. God tells us the best remedy for that is to humble yourself before one another, serve one another, submit yourselves one to another, he tells us in Ephesians 5. If you submit yourself and humble yourself one to another and do the work to each other that you think is kind of humiliating, that's what God's talking about. There's no way you're going to start lying to one another and try to exalt yourself in a situation if you're trying to humble yourself to one another. God says, putting away that lying. And then he goes on. It says, wherefore putting away that lying. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know what wrath is? Some people don't understand that verse where it says, be angry and sin not. There's not necessarily a problem with you being angry, but what the problem is why you're angry and what's causing that. Because wrath, and this is just my quick definition, is anger with the intentions of revenge. See, that's the key. You can get angry. I can get angry because I hate the devil. I hate how he's attacking his people. I don't like how he lies to people. I don't like how people get out of church and get out of the ministry of God and quit the ministry and quit the field and stop being a preacher, stop being a pastor, stop being a missionary, stop serving God and get out because they believe the lies of the devil. That makes me mad. I don't like that. But anger, when it turns to wrath, is when I get angry at Brother Ed. I'm keep using you as an example, if you don't mind. At Brother Ed, because I want some kind of revenge. I don't like what he said. And I'm going to lie and do things, whatever I can, because he made me mad, and I want revenge. I want to get back. I want him to hurt like he hurt me. Yeah. Yeah. That's wrath. That's human wrath. When we want to change the circumstances because we want somebody else to suffer because they made us upset. Now, when it comes to spiritual wrath, I want Satan to suffer. I mean, God's the only one who can do that. And we see that in Revelation 20:10 that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. So praise God, his time is limited. But God says you want to walk worthy of the calling. You want to renew yourself in the spirit. And the way you're going to renew yourself is to take out the lying, take out the wrath. And then he tells us here in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. You know, people don't really understand that verse either. How do you give place to the devil? You unintentionally invite him in where he shouldn't be. You don't, as a believer of God, you know you don't like the devil and you don't want him nowhere near you or your family or your kids. But you can change circumstances in your life that will invite the devil into your life where you've been trying to keep him out all your life because you gave him a place. You gave him a place because maybe you got angry at somebody in the church and that because you have wrath and revenge and now you've given place to the devil in your heart, in your life, that he can start manipulating you for his purpose instead of you giving your life to Christ. Don't give the devil a place in your heart, in your life, in your family. Keep them out. Keep the hedge up. Keep God's protection around you. Don't do anything that's going to give the devil a place in your home, in your heart, in your life. Neither give place to the devil. Verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more. So he said, hey, take out lying. Take out the wrath. Take out the devil. Take out the stealing. It says, I'm not a liar or a stealer. Well, congratulations, you got two down on the list. But some people aren't that way. Some people will break in the preacher's house on the preacher's property, at the church's property, and vandalize and steal and create havoc for one purpose only. Because they're thieves. And they're trying to steal your joy. They're trying to steal your fellowship with God. They're trying to steal your relationship with God. They're trying to take everything away from you because they're thieves. Don't be that person that thinks that you're doing God a favor by acting upon the man of God. You know, and y'all that know Brother Charlie, he's been here, he came here last year. He's been going through a lot of physical health problems, and it's hard for him to communicate. But the church there believes he's still the pastor, and he's going to pastor that church. Well, there's people there from day one have been trying to get him out of that church and not pastor that church. And I don't even know why. When you look at that church, it's a nice little property that's all paid for over there in Hepzibah, Georgia, which no one knows where Hepzibah is unless you've been somewhere in Georgia some of your life. Even then, you still don't know where it is. It's like people outside of Texas knowing where Marion is. No one knows where Marion is. Y'all know Hepsa has four people in it. And it's the Penningtons. And from day one, people have been trying to destroy that work. And the only reason I can think of is because the devil hates that work. And if the devil hates the work, it's because they're doing something right. And I guarantee if we continue to follow God and do things that are right in God's eyes, he's coming our way as well. Don't let him manipulate you and become one of those stealers where you're trying to steal the joy and try to steal the glory from God and try to steal from the Lord when he has everything under control. Renew your spirit by taking out the lying, the wrath. Give no place to the devil, no stealing. And then he tells us here in the last of that part, he tells us, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands in the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Corrupt communication. That's unfit for use. That's rotten. God says, take out the rotten communication. You know, when we come to church, most of us, I'd have to say, try to keep our rotten communication at home. And I'm glad for that. Because Brother Damon over there, he can cuss up a storm. I'm just kidding. I remember. I got to get off of him. I'm going to move to you. But, you know, it shouldn't be in our house either. I mean, our kids don't need to hear our bowling language, our golfing language. I gave up golf a long time ago because I gave up cussing. So I had to give up golf. And I was losing too much money. God wants to, if you can renew your spirit, remember, he's trying to keep the unity in the body of Christ. But this means that we're going to have to control ourselves and our corrupt communication, not only in the house of God, but in our daily walk with God. Controlling our language. Yeah, there's some times that people cut you off in traffic and they you know, pay with pennies at Walmart when you're in a hurry, and you'll hit every red light when you're trying to get somewhere. I mean, it never fail. And that dumb train will come by with 2,000 cars on it at the last minute, be the last straw. I barely made it to the thing for Jonathan over there because of all the problems. As soon as I left the church here on Saturday, I hit nothing but problems going all the way to March Avenue. I was already 30, 40 minutes late, and I just, nothing worked. And I was going to cuss up a storm, but I let my wife do it instead. She's not in here, so amen. No, she didn't. So cut out the lion of wrath, the giving place to the devil, the stealing, corrupting communication. But let's read on. He's not done. In verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Man, grieving the Holy Spirit means that you're doing things in your life that just disappoint God. And it's hard to be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit when we're grieving God. And when we're grieving God, we're just basically put him aside and say, Lord, let me handle this. Because your flesh wants to be in charge. You don't want the Spirit to be in charge. Because there's something that you need to accomplish that only your flesh wants. God doesn't want it. So you end up grieving the Holy Spirit. Because you do things that are contrary to God's will and God's word in your life, and it grieves him. It hurts God. It disappoints God because of the actions that you're taking. And he says, you cannot renew your spirit. You cannot keep the unity. You cannot walk worthy of your calling if you're grieving me. God has to be number one. We got to keep God number one and not grieve the Spirit of God. But he's not done. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And that clamor is just the complaining that we do to God. He says, if you want to renew your spirit, you want to walk worthy of your calling, put away the bitterness. Because bitterness only hurts you and your relationship with God. It's not hurting a person you're mad at, that you're bitter against. It's only hurting you. He says, put that away. We already talk about putting the wrath away and the anger. He talked about that clamor, that complaining, that evil speaking. Man, I guarantee you, if you look around this small church of ours, you're going to find 100 to 200 things that you can complain about. And everybody that knows me knows, don't come to me complaining because you're going to be the one fixing the problem. I love that. I love it when people come complaining to me about something because you just volunteered to take care of it for me. Thank you. Because I needed some help in that situation. And thank you for volunteering. If you don't want to volunteer, don't complain about it. If you would like it to see a different way, volunteer to take care of it. Because we got a lot of things around here that need to be taken care of. And they may not get done to your liking, so you might as well just go ahead and volunteer and do it. Then you know it's done right. It says, take away that evil speaking and put it away from you with all that malice. That malice is just things that we do that are harmful, spiteful to people. So we looked at renewing our spirit of God, the new man, putting on the new man, walking and worthy of our calling for the unity of the faith. And we talk about no lying, no wrath or anger, no place for the devil, no stealing, no corrupt communication, no grieving, no bitterness or malice. And then he leaves us last one verse that gives us some yeses. What can we do then, Lord? Verse 32. Be ye kind one to another. Wow. If more people in churches all around the world would just be kind one to another, we could really change the image of the Christian walk. A lot of people look at Christianity as fake and false because they see the people they work with that say they're Christians, and they got all these no's in their life instead of yeses. If we had more yeses, we'd be more like Christ, Christ-like, which is a Christian, a Christ-like creature. Be ye kind one to another. And then he says, tender-hearted. That's tenderness. When someone has a difficulty and a problem, if you're tender-hearted, you'll cry with them, you'll laugh with them, you'll enjoy their benefits and their mountaintop experiences. You'll be with them in the low valley experiences. You're tenderhearted. You want to connect with that person and help them out. Be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted. And lastly, another yes is forgiving one another. See, it's hard to have anger and malice against somebody, bitterness, grieving the Spirit of God because your flesh wants to be in charge because you're so upset and angry. Having corrupt communications come out, spewing out of your mouth like vomit. Giving place to the devil in your life, lying about things that aren't true, making up stories and other things just to have your way. It's hard to do all that when you got forgiving one another. Oh, man. I know I've done a lot of things in my life I need forgiveness for. Especially when you're preaching and teaching as much as I do, things are going to come out my mouth that probably shouldn't come out, and I need people's forgiveness for it. And I know you're the same way. We need each other's forgiveness. Yeah. And if we're willing to give each other our forgiveness and some tenderness and some kindness, we're going to walk worthy of the calling that we've been called to. Let's go back to verse number one. What is our calling? We're a child of God. We're a believer. We represent Christ in this world. And if we're not walking worthy of our calling, we're not giving God the glory that he deserves through our life. We're just being just like the rest of this world. The rest of this world doesn't know Jesus. They're not walking after Jesus. They're not trying to please Jesus. But we should be. Because that's our calling. And we need to put on that new man. We got saved, the old man's gone. Put on the new man, the new creature. Walk in the spirit of newness of life through the Spirit of God. Renew your spirit today by determining you're not going to give place to the devil in your life. You're not going to put up with these things. Let's put more of the yeses in our life and take away the noes and see what God can do in your life and through our church. Let's stand together and pray as we have a time of invitation. And here at our church, our invitation time is for you to spend just a moment with God, just you and him. God is a God of action. He wants you to take an action today. What is it that he's been speaking to you about that you need to change, that you need to commit to him? Maybe you're here today. And you know in your heart, you're just not 100% sure, like the Bible wants you to be, that if Jesus were to take your life right now, you'd be in his presence. You can know that, but the Bible says you must believe that. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you do that, your sins will be forgiven, your name will be redeemed. Your name is written down in the book of life, and you will have everlasting life with the Lord. Nobody can take that away. Do you know that today? If you don't, you can trust Christ as your Savior right now where you're at, and you can believe on him by just calling upon his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here and you know you're saved, and maybe God has spoken to your heart about some of these things, some of the no's maybe. Maybe we don't have enough of the yeses in our life. just commit them to the Lord and say, Lord, I need definitely more yeses and less noes. Help me to change. Help me to renew the spirit, put on that new man, and walk worthy of our calling. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time we have here today. I ask that you'll bless each person's here. Whatever needs on their heart, may they get it right with you right now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to come to the altar, altar's open. If you'd like to pray where you're at, that's fine too. Just let God have his way right now, just for a moment. Pray for one another.